The hymn number 285 is our opening hymn this evening, 285, the page is 291. Wondrous love of Jesus spread the news around, pardon freely offered, what a joyful sign. Jesus, loving Saviour, died to set me free, oh that blessed whosoever that means me. 285, the page 291, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Let's stand to sing.
Wondrous love of Jesus, spread the news around. Pardon freely offered, what a joyful sound. Jesus, loving Savior, died to set me free. Oh, that blessed whosoever that needs me. Pardon freely offered.
Let's bow in prayer and commit our time to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight that we can come into thy holy presence. Lord, we thank thee again for the approach that we have to thee in prayer. We come, Lord, not through anything that there is in us, but Lord, we thank thee tonight for our mediator. We thank thee, Lord, for the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank the Lord for He who died that atoning death for us, for He who opened the way to heaven that we might be saved. Lord, we thank Thee tonight for the finished work of our Savior. We thank Thee, Lord, that there on the cross He cried out, "Finished." We thank Thee, Lord, for that great work of redemption which was completed there, and redemption accomplished there at the place called Calvary. Lord, it is because of Calvary that we tonight have a message to proclaim. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that we can proclaim that Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And Lord, tonight it is for the whosoever will that believeth. And Lord, Father, we pray tonight that they will be found in this place, believing souls. Lord, those that tonight have come in to this meeting in the darkness, Lord, in the bondage of their sin, oh God, we pray that tonight they'll be set free by that power of the gospel. Lord, that this night the Lord Jesus Christ will come and set them free from the chains that bind them to their sin. Heavenly Father, we pray for a work to be done in every heart and every life. We ask, O God, tonight that You'll come and solemnize this place with a sense of Thy holy presence. O God, we pray that the very atmosphere of heaven will be amongst us tonight. Lord, that we might know that God is here and that to bless. O God, we pray that we might hear Thy voice. Lord, that this night we might understand what it is. Lord, that this night we are only but a step away from death. And O God, we pray tonight for those in this meeting who are still unsaved. We pray, Lord, that this night, Lord, that ere that door of mercy would close, Lord, that this night they'll come and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray, Lord, for salvation to come and visit this house. Lord, even as it was said of Zacchaeus' house, that salvation was come that day to his house. We pray, O God, that this night salvation will come to this house. O God, we pray that tonight You'll arrest sinners. O God, we pray that tonight You'll convict them. And Lord, that this night You'll bring them gloriously into the family of God. Save them, we pray. Lord, we realize that this is Thy work. Lord, we can and we must preach and present and warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. But Lord, we realize we can create no anxious thought. Lord, tonight we can say with Jonah that salvation is of the Lord. So Lord, we pray that tonight You'll convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Bless our coming together tonight. Help us, Lord, as we would worship Thee, as we praise Thy name. We thank Thee, Lord, that we are in the house of God tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for the health and the strength that Thou hast given to us to be here. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight for Thy goodness and Thy mercy toward us even another day. Lord, we think of so many in our congregation who are not blessed even as we are tonight and would love to be in the house of God. And yet, Lord, because of the weakness of the body, Lord, the frailness of the body at this time, they cannot gather. Oh God, we pray that You'll minister to them wherever they are in their own homes, in nursing care tonight, in hospital wards. We pray, Lord, that You'll come and speak and minister to all of their needs, both physical and spiritual as well. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless every head bowed in Thy presence. We ask, O God, that tonight business will be done in every heart and every life. Our Father, we pray as well that You'll remember Victoria. She'll come and sing to us. We thank Thee, Lord, for the gifts and the talents that Thou hast given to her. And we thank Thee, Lord, that she's using those talents in the service of the Master. And so be with her tonight. And may she be an encouragement. And Lord, may we be an encouragement to her. And our Father, we pray that You'll be with her and bless her. And Lord, we ask, O God, that as the gospel goes forth, not only in this place, but in other places across this city and across our province, we pray, Lord, tonight for signs to follow the preaching of the glorious gospel. Lord, we acknowledge that we live in a sinful, wicked world. But, O God, we pray that tonight You'll rend the heavens and come down. Lord, that this night the mountains might flow down at Thy presence. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll come and show Thyself strong, O God, we ask. Lord, send over our land, over our province, send over this city a breath of God. Move amongst us, O God, we pray. Lord, be pleased to start that work, even here in our own little congregation here on the Sandown Road. O God, we pray that You'll set us all on fire for God. Give us a greater desire, a greater passion and love. And the Heavenly Father, we pray that as we seek to serve Thee, as we seek to witness for Thee, Lord, we pray that our borders will be increased. O God, we pray that You'll give us a greater vision. Our Father, we pray for this area. We pray for Ballyhackamore. Yea, Lord, we pray for the entire district of East Belfast. Our Father, we pray that from the short strand right up to Ballybean, Lord, that sinners will realize that there is a God in heaven with whom one day they must deal. Lord, for Protestant, for Roman Catholic, for the religious, for the irreligious, O God, we pray that you'll awaken each and every one. For Lord, we realize that we're all sinners in the sight of a holy God. Matters not what tag we might want to put upon ourselves. We are all sinners. And O God, we pray that tonight, Lord, that the lost of this area will be awakened. Lord, we pray that people will be stirred up. O Lord, we pray for a move of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll turn us back to thyself. Cause thy face to shine upon us, O God, we pray, and we shall be saved. So answer prayer for us now. Bless us, O God, as we continue on and further worship thee. And Lord, give us a blessed night, a good night, in the house of God. We pray this in thy name and for thine honour and glory alone. Amen. Amen. We are delighted tonight again to have our sister Victoria with us. We have always enjoyed her ministry in the past, and I know tonight will be no exception. We're glad to have you, Victoria, and your friends as well. You're very welcome once again to Sandown. I'm going to ask you to come now at this stage and sing for us, please. Thank you.
My happy soul rejoices, the sky is bright above. I'll join the heavenly voices and sing redeeming love. Power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. I heard the blessed story of him who died to save. The love of Christ swept o'er me, my all to him I gave. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. I plunge beneath this fountain that cleanseth white as snow. It pours from Calvary's mountain with blessings in its flow. O crown him king forever, my Savior and my friend. By Zion's crystal river, his praise shall never end. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow.
It is lovely to be back with you in Sandown. I think I was here earlier in the year, as far as I can remember. No, it is lovely to renew fellowship with you. This next piece that I'm going to sing, it's entitled Invitation Time. It might not be well known to some of you, but this is one that my grandmother actually used to sing. I'm not going to do it any justice, mind you, but this is an old favourite of hers. It was actually the title of her record that she brought out. So this one's simply entitled Invitation Time, and it talks about inviting you to Christ, and that's why there is gospel meetings here in Sandown. We want to invite you to Christ as your own and personal Saviour.
The Saviour waits outside the door of every sinner's heart. He longs to be admitted and eternal life impart. It's invitation time, and Christ is standing by. Your heart so stained with sin, he longs to enter. It's invitation time. Oh, sinner, let him in. He'll It's invitation time, and Christ is standing by. Your heart so stained with sin, He longs to enter. It's invitation time, oh sinner. Receive Him now, my dear lost friend, and live eternally. It's invitation time, and Christ is standing by. Your heart so stained with sin, He longs to enter. It's invitation time. Oh, sinner, let Him in. He'll freely pardon you and give you peace. It's invitation time. Oh, sinner, let Him in. He'll freely pardon you and give you peace. It's invitation
time. Thank you so much, Victoria, for coming and ministering to us in song tonight. It's invitation time. That takes me back to childhood days, putting it on a record. You wouldn't believe that I remember records, I know that, but I do. At home on Sunday afternoon, putting the record player on, and Mrs. Elliott on the front page, front cover of that, the lovely setting there in the garden, and singing that so beautifully, and you most certainly did that justice as well tonight, Victoria. And may God speak to all of our hearts, even through those messages in song. We bid you welcome tonight in the Lord's great name. We're glad to have you, and we want to thank you sincerely for coming and for being a part of this gospel service this evening. To each and to every one of you, thank you for coming. We pray the Lord will bless us as we meet in His house tonight. Do remember the meetings throughout the rest of the week in the will of the Lord tomorrow night. Our Bible study at 8 p.m. and our brother Ian will be taking the Bible study tomorrow night. There is a youth council meeting here, delegates meeting, that we'll be involved with, and that'll be in the rooms to the back of the church. Tuesday and Thursday at 6 a.m., the early morning seasons of prayer. Then also on Tuesday at 7 p.m., that will be the children's meeting also in the back rooms. And then on Thursday, our May and midweek prayer meeting, we want you to come along and plan to be with us here on Thursday night for that prayer meeting. Friday night, our youth will meet, and again, we encourage all of our young people, please turn out on Friday night, because we are practicing now in the run-up for the Christmas carol services, and so we encourage all to be out on Friday night. Also on Friday night, there'll be the men's prayer meeting at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, season of prayer at 7:30, 10:15, the Sabbath school, and the Bible classes, and then 11:30 and 7. And you're welcome back to all of those meetings. In the evening time, the girls from Heavenbound will be here to sing. Also next Lord's Day at 3 p.m., that'll be the monthly meeting in the Domhnall Care Home. I want to thank you for your giving to the missionary work last week. Came to a total of £682.70, including the missionary council offering and also the offering for our sister Margaret Russell, who was with us on Thursday night past. So thank you for that very kind and generous offering. Also, the church calendars are available tonight. There are an ample supply for everyone. We want you to take as many as you want with you. They're all free, and take them with you. Use them to give them out to your family and friends There are 2,000 there in total, and we're leaving it for the next number of weeks, asking the congregation to help us to get all these calendars out to your own communities and to your own families, and then we will, whatever's left over, we'll get them out around the doors locally here. So please arm yourself with as many as you want of those calendars. Take them with you. Use them. Have them in your home that you can give them to somebody. There's a verse of scripture there on each month, and also the details of the church services. They're available, so please take those calendars with you tonight. Also, to any who still want to sign that Book of Remembrance in remember of Lindsay Wiley that we were speaking of this morning, young Lindsay, who passed away very suddenly yesterday on Monday morning past, only 16 years of age. And we want anyone who wants to continue to sign that book of remembrance, and especially our young people, our summer camp workers, and any others who want to do that, if you see Leah or Orla, they will have that book and you can sign that, and just do continue to remember the family very much in your prayers at this time. We're turning back in our hymn books to the hymn number 54. Hymn number 54, and the page is 197. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are worthy of thyself divine, but the fair glories of thy grace beyond thine other wonders shine. Hymn number 54, we'll keep our seats and your offering for the Lord's work will be received. Standing for verse 4. Oh, going to ask Victoria if she'd come again, please, and sing for us. Thank you.
Tonight you'll hear about salvation, sinner friend, do not delay, don't say I'll come tomorrow, when God's calling you today, we can't see into the future. What tomorrow can bring, knowing not what lies ahead, only He who knows all things. We can't alter that appointment. That with death we have to keep. When your life on earth is ended, when your friends and loved ones weep, you see your time's running out, death approaching, time is dear. Where will you be in eternity? Where will you be when you leave here? Why are you delaying time and God's warnings you ignore? Sin just one day more. Will it be hell or heaven? Where will be eternity if you reject your only Savior? Then God's hell you will not see. Accept Him as your Savior. Just repent, oh, taste and see. Tonight you'll choose hell or heaven. Where will be eternity?
Thank you, Victoria. The Lord has certainly led you tonight to sing that message. The Lord has led me as well to a verse that I believe and I am sure is the verse for tonight, ties in with what has been sung. We're turning tonight to the book of Proverbs in the chapter 27. Book of Proverbs in the chapter 27. Thank you, Victoria. May the Lord bless you for coming and singing for us. Last Monday morning, when the news came through that young girl Lindsay Wiley, had passed away at 16 years of age, there was this verse kept coming to me again and again and again. And I believe it's a verse that the Lord would have me speak on. It's a very familiar gospel verse. Never preached on it before. But a verse I believe the Lord would have us to speak of and speak on tonight. Proverbs chapter 27. Let's read the first few verses together. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy and the stand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The fool's soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. It is the familiar words of verse number 1 that we want to leave with you this evening as we bring the gospel and bring the service to a conclusion. The wise man uttered these wise words. And tonight, if you're here without Christ, I want you to take these words to heart. I want you to see this as a word not from this preacher, but tonight as a word, as it is, a word from God. And the wise man said in verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. With the word of God open before us, can we just still our hearts, please, and seek his face as we come to his word for tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already in this place. We thank thee, Lord, that we can say the Lord is here. And O God, we pray that even through the messages and song that have been brought to us tonight, Lord, through the word of God, we pray for thy voice to be heard. We believe thou art speaking. And O God, we pray that this night you will speak, you will strive, this night you'll save. O God, we pray that this night you'll come. Come, Lord, and rescue the perishing. Come, Lord, tonight and save the lost. Come, Lord, tonight. Take sinners off that broad way that leads to everlasting darkness. Lord, this night plant their feet on that narrow way that leads to heaven and to home. Do it for thy name's sake and for thine own glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. The word of God, which tonight we hold in our hands and which we cherish and which we love, is a book of much certainty. It's a book of much clarity. And it is a book in which we can have full and unreserved confidence in. I say that because in the Bible, there is every word of God, every syllable, every bit of punctuation, everything is the revelation of God. It is inspired by God. Every word that you read from Genesis through to Revelation, it is the word of God. Every truth that is presented to us in the Scriptures is the truth of God. Every teaching that we have is the teaching of God. And in the Word of God tonight, there are revealed for us many great and precious certainties. God has given us His Word that we can be certain on particular issues pertaining to life and to death. In the Word of God, we are confronted with a certainty concerning creation, because right at the very opening of this book, we have those tremendous words in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. There's no element of doubt there. There's no element of confusion. There's no element of chaos as to the origin of this world. God created the world which we inhabit, and God created we who inhabit this world. This world is filled with so much confusion and so much chaos as to the theory as to how this world all began. But the Scriptures are very clear, and they are certain tonight, that God created this world. So there is certainty tonight about creation. There's also certainty in the Word of God tonight about revelation, because God's creation reveals God the Creator. In Psalm 19, we read those words that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork. You see, God is revealed in all that we see around us. The imprint and the stamp of one who is greater than His creation is revealed in His creation. The order and the beauty of this world reveals to us tonight one who created that order and one who sustains and maintains this world. So there is certainty concerning creation. There is certainty concerning revelation. But there is also certainty tonight concerning redemption. Because in the Bible, in the Word of God, God reveals to us a certain, a clear, a distinct way of redemption. God reveals very clearly in the pages of Holy Scripture a clear way, an only way, that fallen man can be saved and brought into union and fellowship with the Creator God, the one who made us. How can a man be just before God? That question which has been asked down through the history of humanity, it's answered in the Word of God that redemption is through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. There are not many ways of redemption tonight revealed in the Word of God. There's only one way of redemption. From the fall right until this very moment, there has been only one means of redemption. Jesus Christ, His finished work. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, in whom, that is in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So the Scriptures are clear and certain also on redemption. So the issues of creation, the issues of revelation, the issues of redemption, the core issues are clear, are certain, because these are things that we need to be clear. These are things that we need to be certain upon. However, there is a matter brought before us tonight in the words of our text on which we do not have the same certainty or clarity to the same extent. And that issue pertains to tomorrow or the future. Because it's not just referring to the next 24 hours here, it's referring to the future. What lies ahead for any one of us? We do not have the details of our lives revealed for us. So there is, to the human mind, uncertainty as to tomorrow. However, while this uncertainty is in relation to the details of tomorrow, the exact happenings of tomorrow, yet there is another way that we will go on and see this evening, in which tomorrow is very certain, on which tomorrow is very clear. But tomorrow, the future, the pathway of our life, the events that will befall us in the week that lies ahead in the will of God, they're all unknown to us. Yes, they've all been ordered by a sovereign God, but they are unknown to us. And that goes for the saved and the unsaved alike. But it is particularly tonight to those in this meeting without Jesus Christ, without God's salvation, without any hope for eternity, without anything that would lie before us. It is to those people tonight that I want to speak, the unknown tomorrow. Some things I want us to see very simply about this unknown tomorrow. First of all, I want you to see with me here the problem concerning it. The problem concerning it. I want to look for a moment here tonight at the problem about tomorrow. Not about the actual day or the events, but rather about man's attitude towards tomorrow. And therein lies the problem. The first problem that we see about tomorrow is the problem of boasting. Notice the words of our text. Verse 1, Proverbs 27, boast not thyself of tomorrow. The text speaks of man's boasting of tomorrow. That word boast there in the original means to be clear. And as a result then, to make a show and to be foolish, because you can't actually be clear about tomorrow. Therefore, the one who boasts about tomorrow is someone who is speaking with great certainty and great clarity in relation to the subject of the future. And tonight, man believes that he can speak with certainty and with clarity about tomorrow. He can boast about tomorrow, even though he has no idea what tomorrow will bring. Yet sin will cause him to boast. You see, it speaks of a pride. It speaks of an arrogance. And you see, that's the big problem, because sinners are proud and they're boastful and they're foolish concerning their boasting. They believe that tomorrow, they believe that the future, they believe that the days ahead are guaranteed to them. That as sure as they have this day, then they will have another day. Even though we live in the midst of death all around us, and the death notices fill the newspapers day after day, yet man still boasts about tomorrow. The sin of presumption and the sin of pride. They presume, they assume that tomorrow will come for them just as today has come for them. And you see, unsaved in this meeting tonight, that's exactly how you're living your life. You're boasting about tomorrow as if tomorrow is guaranteed to you. As if tomorrow is sure and tomorrow is certain. James gives a rebuke to such foolish talk and boasting when he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. He rebukes those who say that today or tomorrow we'll do this and we'll do that. To those who speak with great confidence about tomorrow, who boast about tomorrow as if they were sure of it. And sinner, tonight, that's how you're living your life. You're living as if there will be a tomorrow. You're living as if God will be gracious and good to you, even as he has been today. And there's nothing wrong with making the plans and nothing wrong with making preparation for tomorrow. We'll go on and see how that is necessary. But the problem is making those plans and making those preparations without factoring God into the equation. Without factoring death into the equation. So there is this boasting about tomorrow. And sinners are boasting tonight. You go out onto the streets around this church tonight. You go out onto the streets of Ballyhackamore tonight and you say to them, do you believe that this could be your last night? And they'll say, don't be so foolish. Nothing wrong with me. Yes, you can go into hospital wards tonight and people lying unwell and they might be different. But to those who are in fine health and everything fine, they don't reckon that tomorrow may never come. So there's this boasting about tomorrow. But there's also a blindness about tomorrow. That's another problem. Because look what the verse says, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Back over in James, the chapter 4, it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Can I just take a side issue here? There are those tonight who will, and they have made great gain and great financial prosperity out of it, planning for tomorrow and telling us what our tomorrow will be. Those who, they open the paper in the first page, they go to the star signs. What does my star sign say? What will happen to me tomorrow? What will happen to me in the future? And all this list of events that's going to befall us. No man, woman on this earth knows what will happen to themselves, let alone what will happen to anyone else. We know not. What a day they bring forth. There is a blindness about tomorrow. You see, tomorrow? Tomorrow is just eternity, hidden from our view. No man can speak with certainty as to the events of tomorrow. And when we think of this blindness, we are closed into the reality that the only one who knows about tomorrow is the Creator God, the one who planned tomorrow, the one who plans every step of our lives. And yet tonight there are those, and they will rebel against God rather than committing their lives to God, who knows all about tomorrow. God knows our pathway tomorrow. God knows what will happen to us tomorrow. Now that brings great comfort to the child of God. But to those who are out of Christ tonight, that ought to make you tremble. You know not what tomorrow may be, but God knows all about it. And that ought to make you tonight tremble under the weight of your sin. Why? Because tomorrow you could be lost in hell. Tomorrow you could be in God's eternity. Tomorrow you could have breathed your last in this life, closed your eyes in death, and go out into God's eternity. You see, while God has hidden from us the details of tomorrow, and the devil has blinded us to the dangers of tomorrow. That's what the devil's doing to you tonight, dear sinner. He's blinding you. Sin is blinding you as to the danger of tomorrow. Because tomorrow you could be lost. Tomorrow you could be in eternity. Tomorrow all hope could be gone. Therefore tonight, while you have time and while you have opportunity, tonight flee to Christ. Tonight awaken and get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come tonight and be saved, because tomorrow could be too late. Another problem about tomorrow is the bondage. The bondage. Because of this blindness and because of this boasting, then sinners are held in slavish fear by the devil about tomorrow, believing that as today is, so will be tomorrow. If you read very carefully the words of verse number 1, you'll see that the wise man here is speaking and warning against this bondage. Because following on from this boasting and about this blindness, then there is this bondage, and sinners are held in bondage and pride about tomorrow. Boast not thyself. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. You have plans made for tomorrow, and there's nothing wrong, as we've said, with making those plans. But just as you've lived today without God, you plan tomorrow you'll live without God as well. You're in such bondage. Remember the rich man in Luke's gospel? He was held in bondage about tomorrow. He was boasting. He was blind. And he was in bondage. Why do I say that? Because he was making all the greatest plans for tomorrow. He was building up his earthly empire. He was expanding his wealth. He was making every plan for living, but no plan for dying. And the devil was holding him in bondage. And yet, just as he was held in bondage that day, the Lord came to him that same day and said, "Thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall these things be?" See, tonight the devil doesn't want you to be concerned about tomorrow. The devil doesn't want you to be worried about tomorrow. The devil wants you to stop your ears tonight and don't listen to that preacher in the pulpit tonight. The devil just wants you to live for the minute. Live for the now. And worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. But the problem is, we know not what shall be on the morrow. There is the problem about the unknown tomorrow. And there's also the procrastination about tomorrow. One of the things that we're all guilty of, and that is putting things off until tomorrow. We're all guilty of it, I'm sure. We plan to do this and we plan to do that, and we delay it to another time. We procrastinate. We put it off. But that problem is made all the more serious and all the more acute concerning the matter of your soul's salvation. Tonight you know you need to be saved. Tonight you know that Christ is your only hope. Tonight you know that if you die the way you are, you'll be lost in hell. But you don't do anything about it. You put it off. You put off getting things right between you and the Lord. You put off the most important matter in your life because you think there are other matters in your life that you need to take care of first. You can go into an office tonight and or tomorrow morning and make out all the plans and who's going to get what and who's not going to get what. You can make all of those plans and you think those things are important. That's fine. And you could have your life insured to the hilt, and that's fine as well. But those things at the end of the day aren't really important, because you put off the most important thing, and that is getting your soul right with God, because you think you'll have tomorrow to do that. And tonight the Lord comes to you and he calls you and he commands you to be saved. And he says, today, today, sinner, today, now, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, not tomorrow. You can read the scriptures through from cover to cover and you will never, ever read of tomorrow concerning your salvation. It's always in the here and now, because this is the only time we have. We're not even guaranteed whether we'll put our heads in the pillow tonight. Don't put off the matter of salvation until tomorrow, because you do not know what tomorrow may hold for you. You do not know what may befall you tomorrow. Tomorrow your life may be over, your opportunity to get right with God may be past, your day of grace ended and finished, and forever it would be too late. Therefore today, now, this night, come and be saved. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, tonight there are too many like old Felix who, having heard the message of the gospel and being presented with the plan of God, and having heard the preaching of Paul and the testimony of Paul, and being convicted and trembling, and yet making that fateful mistake of procrastinating, delaying, and saying, when I have convenient season, then I'll call on you. We never read of Felix having that convenient season. We never read of that man ever coming to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. Yet he was convicted, he was trembling. But he thought he knew he needed to get saved. He knew he needed to get right with God, but he'll say, I'll do it tomorrow. He sent away his day of grace. When it feels right for me, I'll get saved. When it's my time and when I'm feeling I'm nearing death, I'll get saved. Even though there are multitudes across our province tonight, and quickly, one after the other, they're being cut off. suddenly and without warning. Yet you think you'll still have tomorrow. And you'll put off the matter of salvation till tomorrow. The language of your soul is just, give me a little longer. This world, it seems so bright, when I feel I'm dying, I'll get saved, but not tonight. And sinner, for too long, that's what you've been saying. Dear unconverted in this meeting tonight, for too long you've been saying, I'll get saved. Preacher, I agree 100% with all you say, but just not now. Just not now. And yet this night could be your last night. This night could be your last time. I'm reminded of a story Mr. Spurgeon told as he was preaching one night. God gave him tremendous help and liberty. And there was a very palpable sense of the presence of God in that meeting. And a lady waited behind after the meeting, spoke to the great Mr. Spurgeon. And she says, you know, Mr. Spurgeon, I know I need to be saved. I know I need to get right with God. I agree with what you've been saying. Mr. Spurgeon said, well, let's get that sorted tonight. Let's be saved tonight. And she says, no, there are just some things I want to deal with first of all. Some matters I want to put right. Mr. Spurgeon impressed upon her the need to do it right now, the need to be saved now, not to put it off. But she said, no, I'll get saved, I'll get saved very soon, but just not now, Mr. Spurgeon. Thank you for your time and thank you for preaching, and I'll be in touch. Mr. Spurgeon was in his study the next morning, Monday morning. Someone came rapping to his door, great concern, said, Mr. Spurgeon, come quick, come quick. He didn't know the person who came to his door, and so he followed. And he was brought into this house and taken up the stairs and lying on the bed in that bedroom was that lady who just less than 12 hours previous said, I know I need to get saved, but I'm not going to get saved now. And as Mr. Spurgeon walked into that room, that woman breathed her last. And they carried her body out in a coffin. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to settle this, but just not now. But she didn't have another opportunity. That was her opportunity. Tonight, sinner, this is your opportunity. This is the only time that you have. You see, tonight, the greatest lie of the devil, it's not that there is no heaven, it's not that there is no hell. His lie tonight is there is no hurry. No hurry in the matter of your salvation. But this is your only time. This is your only opportunity. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Don't delay. Someone has described procrastination as the thief of time. Don't allow that to rob you of your only opportunity to get right with God. The problem concerning the unknown tomorrow, the procrastination about the unknown tomorrow, but finally, as we close this evening, notice the preparation. The preparation for the unknown tomorrow. That verse, as we have said, verse 1, ends with those words, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There's a peril there. And as a result of that peril, there needs to be preparation. The peril is that tomorrow could be the day of your death. How would it be? You see, tonight, tomorrow's date. Tomorrow's date could be the date inscribed upon your headstone. It was that day so-and-so passed into God's eternity. You dressed yourself today, a funeral undertaker could dress you tomorrow. Tomorrow people could gather in your home with their sympathies and their sorrows and gather around your open coffin and remember with fondness the life you lived, but what about your soul? Where would it be? As Victoria sang tonight, it's either heaven or hell. It's either with Christ or without Christ. And if you die rejecting Christ, if you die rejecting the gospel, if you die rejecting the finished work of Christ on the cross as your only hope and your only way to heaven, then tomorrow will be the first day of countless days in a lost eternity. David, when he was on the run from King Saul, we were speaking of this on Friday night to our young people. Young man in the prime of life. And yet he realized and he said this, there is but a step. Just one step between me and death. And sinner, we have said it before, and we will keep saying it as long as the Lord gives us breath. You're only a heartbeat away from a lost eternity. You're just one step away. Therefore, in the light of all of this, there needs to be preparation. As the old prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. What does that involve? Well, it involves repentance from sin. It means being awakened to the realization of your sin and being awakened that the only hope for your sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who can cover your sin is Christ. The only one who can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about fleeing to Him. Have you made that preparation? Have you made that preparation for that day when you take that final step into God's eternity? Are you saved tonight? You see, tonight, while the Lord does not reveal to us the details about tomorrow, and while the devil will blind us to the dangers concerning tomorrow, yet we come back to where we started. And that is to mention as we close that the Scriptures do speak with certainty about tomorrow. Not just tomorrow, not just the next 24 hours, but the future that lies before us. Do you know what the Scriptures tell us about that certainty? In Romans 14 and verse 12, it says, So then, every one of us will give an account of himself to God. That's one detail about tomorrow you can be definite about. The future that lies before you, one day you'll stand before Almighty God and you will give an account. You'll give an account of what you did with Christ this night. You'll give an account of what you've done with Christ in the nights gone by. You will give an account. Every single one of us will give an account. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And there's not one tonight will escape it. Everyone born into this world one day will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How will it be with you? You see, for those that are saved tonight, that day will bring no terror, no fear. We will stand redeemed, accepted in Jesus Christ because of our faith, trusting, resting, relying on the Savior. But for those who are unsaved, those who will stand before God on that day to give an account of their lives, you'll stand condemned. You'll be damned to a lost eternity forevermore. No more opportunities. No more invitations. nothing but the darkness and the blackness of a lost eternity. The old Puritan Thomas Watson said that for eternity to the godly, it is a day that has no sunset. What a day that will be. But eternity to the wicked, he said, it's a night that has no sunrise. That eternity for you, sinner, and that night with no sunrise may be sooner than you think. It may be nearer than you think. It could be tomorrow. The day of God's grace is quickly drawing to a close. You could be nearer eternity than you realize. You see, we all have a tomorrow. We all have a future. But where? Where? Heaven? For those who are saved, for those who are trusting Christ? Hell? For those who have rejected? The scriptures are clear, the scriptures are certain. Boast not thyself about tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Before I come into the pulpit tonight, the words of that well-known verse as well came to my mind, Jeremiah 8:28, the harvest is past. Summer has ended. We are not saved. Sinner, you've wasted many, many opportunities. In fact, if it were true, you'd have more opportunities behind you than you do have in front of you. You've wasted many harvests, you've wasted many summers, you've turned away, and you've spurned many opportunities. And still tonight you're not saved, and still tonight you think there will be a tomorrow. There will be a tomorrow. But tomorrow could be eternity for you. Therefore, tonight, come, flee to Christ, come and be saved. Don't leave it any longer. Don't reject Christ, because you may do it for your last time. Let's bow in prayer. And as we close this evening, if the Spirit of God has been speaking and striving in your heart, and it's not the words of this preacher, that's the message from God tonight. If you realize that there are things in your life that are not right, you're not right tonight with God, you're not saved. And if tomorrow were to come for you in eternity, you'd be lost. Come tonight. Come now. Don't walk out of this church tonight without being saved, without being ready to meet God. Don't go into the darkness of this night without the knowledge of Christ in your life. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll write thy word upon every heart tonight. Oh God, we pray that each one will make that preparation for the unknown tomorrow. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll give grace and that you will give help. We pray this in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen. Let's close with the words of hymn number 230. Hymn number 230, the page 269, Life at Best.